On March 16, 1949, Jack Worm stood on a San Francisco beach. His life was falling apart. He was 55. He had lost his restaurant, gone bankrupt. He didn't see any hope for the future. He didn't know how in the world he was going to survive this, how he was going to get through today, how he was going to have a purpose to wake up on the morrow. Until he found a bottle half buried in the sand. Tonight we continue our study focusing on the fruits of faith. As we do the fruits of faith tonight, we're talking about patience. As we talk about patience and the fruits of faith, we think about Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In recent weeks, we've been looking at different aspects of this powerful passage of the fruit of faith or the fruit of the Spirit. In our first lesson, we looked at our biblical bullseye and talked about the passage and the setting and what's being talked about in the book of Galatians. And we focused on the bullseye that Christians cultivate. In other words, Christians grow, Christians mature, Christians add to their faith, if you will. We then looked at the fruit of love, and we talked about the biblical bullseye of its first for a reason, because it's special and powerful and life-changing and world-changing. We then looked at joy, and we talked about that joy is not optional, but it is expected of every child of God. Last time we were together, we talked about peace and the fruit of peace. And we emphasize that it is presence that produces peace. That true peace comes when Christ is present in someone's life. Tonight we're looking at the fruit of patience. And the biblical bullseye I want us to focus on tonight is that patience takes trouble and time. Patience takes trouble and time. For a few moments tonight, let's talk about that. And as we kind of aim at that, our arrows are going to be, we're going to look at the term itself for a moment, and then we're going to talk about trouble, and then we'll talk about time. The term, the trouble, and the time, as we focus on this central thought that patience takes trouble and time. With that in mind then, let's look at this word patience that's found in Galatians chapter 5. As we look at the term, you can look up here on the screen and see a definition of it. It's a word that's translated as long-suffering, forbearance, and patience. And really the words long-suffering and forbearance give us a little better idea of what the word is all about. And let me just read for you the definition that you can see up there. I want you to notice that it's made up of two different words. That the word that's used here by Paul in Galatians chapter 5, it's two words. One that means long, and one that means temper or anger. So the idea is to have long temper or long anger. You know, we usually use the expression having a short fuse. What the word literally means is have a long fuse. Not be quick to anger, not be quick to become upset. I want you to look a little more deeply with me. I want you to look at what one Greek lexicon emphasized about this word and about its history. And I thought it brought out some great things. It says it's a state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune and without complaint or irritation. And then it went on to talk about kind of some of the idioms that some languages would use to describe what the word means. And so just notice a couple of these. It means to remain seated in one's heart, to keep one's heart from jumping, or to have a waiting heart. The idea is that it is a heart or a life or a person who in situations where they might jump up in anger or frustration or discouragement, calmly and patiently stays in their seat and waits for the resolution of the problem. Or instead of jumping up in anger, chooses to stay seated and to hold back their anger. And as I thought about that idea, and especially this phrase, to have a waiting heart, I couldn't help but think of the song, I think Brad Paisley does it, Have you seen that song or heard the song, Waiting on a Woman? And it's got Andy Griffith, and they're sitting there on a park bench. And as they're sitting there on the park bench, they're both waiting on their wives while they're shopping at this particular mall. And Andy Griffith is talking to Paisley, who is a young boy who's just married. It's kind of the play of what they're trying to portray in the music video. And Andy Griffith is basically saying, son, calm down, it's okay. I don't mind waiting on a woman. He says, when I picked her up for our first date, I told her I'd be there at 8. She came down the stairs at 8:30. She said, I'm sorry that took so long. Didn't like a thing that I'd tried on. But let me tell you, son, she sure looked pretty. Yeah, she'll take her time, but I don't mind waiting on a woman. He goes on to say, I don't guess we've been anywhere. She hasn't made us late, I swear. Sometimes she does it just because she can do it. Boy, it's just a fact of life. It'll be the same with your young wife. Might as well go on and get used to it. She'll take her time because you don't mind waiting on a woman. I've read somewhere statistics show the man's always the first to go. And that makes sense because I know she won't be ready. So when it finally comes my time and I get to the other side, I'll find myself a bench if they've got any. And I hope she takes her time because I don't mind waiting on a woman. What he's saying is, I don't mind waiting when we have a date. I don't mind waiting at the mall. I don't mind waiting at all because I love her. And so that's okay. The reason that popped into my mind is because when I looked at what this term really means, it's talking about a waiting on a park bench kind of life. That when you go through life and you face struggles, and folks come along and they look at you and say, why are you so calm? Why are you so peaceful? Look at these things that are happening in your life. You say, it's okay. I don't mind. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I can handle whatever comes at me because I'm just waiting on deliverance. I'm just waiting on freedom. I'm okay. I don't mind sitting here. I can handle anything because I love my Lord. I believe in my Lord. And I believe my Lord will help me get through this. So I don't need to rise up in anger and frustration and discouragement. I'm calm. I'm okay. I'm just living life, waiting on my Lord to do something special. It's not a question of will He come or will He do something. It's just a matter of when. And to me, that's what the word means. Paul is saying, let us have the fruit of living life, calmly facing anything that comes, knowing that in time God is coming and He'll fix it. He'll get us through it. He'll give us hope again. The second thing I want us to think about is not the term, but the trouble. And I want us to look at how this word is used in the New Testament, at least in a couple of examples, with a couple of different ideas. I also want you to notice, if you were here last week when we talked about peace, you're going to see some similarities. In fact, I hope you'll notice as we look at some of these passages, so far we've looked at fruits of love, joy, peace, and patience. And as we look at some of these passages from Paul, notice how often these words show up in passages together. They're interconnected, and you have subtle differences between them, but you also have overlap between them, and they go together. Peace and patience go hand in hand. Love and joy and peace and patience go hand in hand. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now look at Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone,
Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, I want you to look at the idea behind those two passages. Because maybe we didn't see that aspect of the word when we thought of Him saying to be patient. When we talked about Paul being patient, maybe we thought more in terms of Paul telling us to be patient when we have to wait on something. We're going to come to that idea. And maybe we thought about Paul emphasizing the need to be patient when bad things are happening in our lives. And we're going to come to that. But I want us to realize that the word is often used in the New Testament to talk about how we respond when people hurt us, when people break our hearts. He says, a patient person is a person who calmly waits, a person who doesn't act out in anger and in vengeance, but a person who is humble, kind, merciful, caring, and forgiving. In other words, he says, be patient in tolerating each other's mistakes. Be patient in tolerating each other's weaknesses. And be patient when it comes to responding in anger to what somebody does to us. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, he says in verse 13 of Colossians chapter 3. And then notice what he says at the end of that section. Just as the Lord forgave you. I hope you see over and over as we look at these traits, these fruits, I want you to notice over and over when Paul talks about them, he keeps pointing back to Jesus. Because Jesus is the perfect example of every fruit on this list. And so he says, in other words, be patient with people and don't respond in anger to what they do to you. He says, first of all, because that's what God has done to us. Jesus is our example. We'll come back to that in a few moments. But he not only talks about patience as something I do when I'm troubled by somebody else, but also in the New Testament, he talks about patience as a way I respond to life itself. Sometimes bad things happen in my life, and they're not caused by somebody. They just happen. Sometimes they're caused by somebody. Sometimes it's just a product of living in a fallen world. But the message of the New Testament is, when I face any kind of trouble or struggle, to respond with calm patience. I want you to look at a couple of places. First of all, if you look over in Hebrews chapter 6, remember that the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians who are being persecuted for the cause of Christ. And remember, they're tempted to go back to Judaism. It looks attractive to them. When they were living under the Old Testament, remember, they weren't being persecuted then. It was only when they became followers of Christ that they started being persecuted. And so they're tempted to go back to what they used to know. And so what he's doing in the book of Hebrews, in large part, is he's saying, don't give up. Don't lose patience. Don't go back. And so that is the background. He says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And down in verse 13, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now the book of Hebrews is going to talk about the great heroes of faith. And we'll talk about them more. But he's saying, I want you to follow their example of patience. He's saying, I know you're going through some struggles. I know you're facing trials. But don't give in. Be patient. Be calm. Stay on your park bench and wait for the deliverance of the Lord. In James chapter 5, James is encouraging those who read his letter to do the same thing. And he gives some examples. And the examples there are of the prophets and of Job. And folks, if you ever think your life has been tough, just sit down some afternoon and read the Old Testament prophets. For many of them, life was miserable. He might tell this one that he couldn't get married. He might tell that one that he has to marry a prostitute. He might put this one in a cave and feed him with birds and have birds bring him his supper every night. amazing and unbelievable things happened to them. Some of them were sawn in two. Some of them were thrown into wells. They were thrown into prisons. They were shackled, and nobody listened to them in some cases. But they patiently served the Lord. They didn't quit. They didn't rise up in frustration and anger, but they stayed faithful to their God. And so James says, follow their example. When you're facing struggles like them, don't give up and don't give in, but patiently wait on the deliverance of the Lord. And then he talks about Job, and what better example could we have? And I think using Job as an example really helps us, because it reminds us that being patient doesn't mean I don't hurt. It doesn't mean I don't get upset. Because when you read through the book of Job, Job got upset. He got frustrated. At times he was even angry. He was shouting to the heavens, "Why, oh why, Lord, did this happen to me?" But the key we see in the book of Job is that while he was frustrated and hurting, he never, ever gave up on God. And in the end, he found the deliverance of the Lord. And so when I look at his story and I read through that book that tells of the experiences of his life, and then I go to what James is saying, it's telling me, hey, this doesn't mean that when I'm going through life and I'm facing tough times, it doesn't mean I'm not ever going to have any struggles within me emotionally. But ultimately, patience is about never giving up on God. Believing that God will some way, somehow, give me the strength to get through it. It's not about never ever getting upset. It's about enduring and never ever quitting. It's about believing that I serve a great God who will help me even when I don't understand why in the world He's doing what He's doing and how He's going to get me out of it. And so He challenges them to follow those examples. So patience is about how I respond when I'm hurt by people. And patience is about how I respond when I face trouble in my life in any shape, form, or fashion. But also, not only does patience take trouble, it also takes time. And I want to think about that in two different ways. If you look over in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." A farmer that plants his crops, plants his crop or her crop in hopes of having a bountiful harvest. But before there can be a harvest, there has to be the rain. Those of you in here that have been farmers, you know what it's like. You know, the farmer lives by the weather. Whether we have too much rain or too little rain, dependence on the weather is a way of life for the farmer. And so the farmer plants his or her crop and they patiently wait for the rains to come. And they know that today, yes, there's nothing that is broken through the soil, but rain is coming, and when the rain comes, the crop will come. And he says to Christians, "There will be days when I get up and all I see in my field, the field of my life, is barren soil. I don't see anything growing. I don't see anything being produced. I'm trying to sow seeds for the Lord. I'm trying to walk in His ways and do His will and trust His name. But all I see is scorched earth, and I don't see a plant anywhere." What James says is, hang in there, farmer. You keep planting, you keep tilling the soil, God is going to send the rain. Just be patient and wait for it, and live your life expecting the rain. It will come in time. Patience goes against our grain. We live in a culture where we want everything now. From we want a diaper now that is disposable. We want a medicine that will fix our headache now. We want everything immediately. We want fast food. And if it's not really, really fast, it's not fast enough for us. We live in a society where we can't wait for anything. But patience requires time. And if we wonder if we're patient, how do we respond to lines? Okay, if you're going to ask me the two things in life, I wouldn't say the two things, but two of the things that I like least in life, it's a line anywhere and a traffic jam. If I go to a restaurant and they say it's a 45-minute wait, then my response is, that's 30 minutes more than I needed to wait for any food, anytime, anywhere. I've never eaten anything that I needed to wait that long for. Now, maybe you feel differently. What I'm saying is, that is, in my own life, maybe an example of the fact I'm not really good at this thing called patience. Patience requires time. We want everything right now. It's interesting to me then to think about Hebrews chapter 11. And notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Having talked about all these great heroes of faith, and he's going to follow up this passage with discussing of some more. And he says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. Many of these heroes of faith had promises made to them that were not realized in their lifetimes, but were realized in the lifetimes of their descendants. I want you to think about Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God spoke to Abram, who we would come to know by the name Abraham. And he said to him, I'm going to give you a great people, a great land, and a great blessing. The world is going to be blessed through you. From the time that promise was made to Abraham, it was 25 years before he got the son that was going to lead to the great people. It was 600 years before the people got the land. And it was 2,000 years before the world got the blessing, which Galatians 3 tells us is Jesus Christ. All three of those promises were answered. But all three of them took time. Patience takes time. Just because the promise hasn't been fulfilled in my life today does not mean it is not going to be fulfilled. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. And he says, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that you will be filled with knowledge and wisdom and understanding of Christ. He says, I'm doing that so that you will be able to walk in a worthy manner. And then notice what he says down in verse 11. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Now, we looked at this last week to talk about the word joyously, which follows. Again, notice how these words keep coming in pairs and in groups. But you see what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying that he wants the readers of his letter to grow. He's saying, I'm praying that God will help you to grow in your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, so you can walk in a worthy manner. So what? So we can be patient people. Maybe tonight you're impatient with the fact that you're not patient. Patience takes time. Patience doesn't happen overnight. So be patient. Keep working on it. If you struggle today, then let's work more tomorrow to put a little more trust in God. If today we jumped up from that park bench of life, then let's say tomorrow, just for tomorrow, I'm going to try to stay seated. And then I'll try it again the day after that. Paul understood that it takes time to produce patience. So just keep working on it. And don't give up. The message I hope we've seen is that patience takes trouble and time. And I want to remind us once again of the patience of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, Paul is talking about himself and he says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of sinners. But he said, my life is a proof of the patience of Jesus Christ. If He can be patient with me in all the things I did, if He can be forbearing, if He can be forgiving, kind, and merciful to me, Paul says, then He can do it to anybody. And then it goes on in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, to talk about the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord has been promised, and there were those who were saying, because it hasn't happened, it wasn't going to happen, as we look in the first few verses of this chapter. And so what Peter basically says is, don't confuse the fact it hasn't happened with the belief that it won't happen. He says the reason the Lord has not come back is because He's patient. It's because He's giving us time. He's waiting to give us an opportunity to repent. He's waiting to give more people an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of heaven in heaven. But he says, don't be confused. He is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. It hasn't happened because He's patient. But that day will come. What I want us to ask ourselves is, I want us to first of all to ask myself, am I patient when I face trouble? Whether it's caused by somebody else or life itself. Am I patient over time? Am I willing to wait for God to work things out in my life? Whether it's getting that job when I've lost the last one, selling a house, being able to buy a home, put food on the table, whatever it is my family needs, am I willing to patiently wait on the deliverance of the Lord? Another thing I want us to think about is, am I trying the patience of God? God is patient. But there is a day coming when His patience will end. Jack Worm stood on that beach, March 16, 1949. His world, as far as he was concerned, had come to an end. He had lost his business. He didn't know how in the world he was going to survive. And then he looked down there on that San Francisco beach, and he saw a bottle in the sand. He reached down and he picked up that bottle and he broke the top off of it because he saw a piece of paper inside of it. He pulled out the piece of paper and here's what it said. To avoid all confusion, I leave my entire estate to the lucky person who finds this bottle and to my attorney, Barry Cohen. Share and share alike. Daisy Alexander, June 20th, 1937. Now, Daisy Alexander enjoyed a portion of the Singer sewing machine fortune. And in March of 1937, as she was drawing close to death, I think died actually in 1939, in London, England, she tossed a bottle into the Thames River. 12 years before Jack Worm stood on that beach in San Francisco. He stood on that beach thinking, there is no way I can get out of this mess. Did not realize when he arrived at that beach that the answer to his problem, to the tune of $6 million, had been thrown in the ocean 12 years before. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to find a treasure buried in your backyard. On your next trip to the beach, you're going to find anything but oil. But I am saying that at those moments in your life when you think there's no way out and there's no hope, God may have had something afloat a long, long time ago. He just wanted people who would wait and trust Him. Let's be people who wait on the deliverance of the Lord, not wondering if it will come, but excitedly living in anticipation of the fact it will come. And if we live in wonder, it's just wonder of how is He going to do it? I know He's going to do it, but how? If we can help you to have faith and patience and trust, then please, let's talk about it. If you'd like to become a Christian, express your faith in repentance, confession, and baptism. If you want us to pray for you because of maybe some public sin in your life you need to make right, or maybe you're just hurting and you're going through those times of trouble and you just need somebody to pray with you and love you, we want you to know that if you come forward tonight, you will not respond alone. Please come and enjoy the deliverance of the Lord as we stand and sing.